And, oh, before I forget, this message is on love. What is love? So we kind of have an idea what we're looking at. Sorry about that. I am a little nervous. Can't deny that. But I know as I go, the Spirit's going to calm me and I will mellow out and into it. When we think of love, we all kind of have an idea of it. What it is, what it looks like. Some people question, is it feelings and emotions? Is it all actions? And in your own mind, and in your own heart, I hope you all look at that and ask yourself that. I mean, if I was to stand here and say be a teacher and tell you exactly what love is, which I don't know, so I can't do that anyways, because it's such a wide range. There's so much to it. As I've been looking at this for over the past year, what love is. And, I mean, it's a very difficult message to bring forth. For me, anyways. I can give you some examples of what love is. The greatest one is Christ, what he done for us. I can give you some examples of what love is not also. And I don't know if we should hear the ones that are not, or if we should hear the ones that are more like love. And I also ask for your patience. Like I said, for me, it's difficult. Because I am no expert on it. And maybe that's why God is using me. But in... make sure I can see this. I don't know why, but I always have a hard time finding a specific book. And I even marked it very well so I could find it. Well, maybe that's not where I'm supposed to go yet. Well, I guess we'll go with what love is. I mean, we all know in 1 Corinthians what it talks about, you know, about love being patient, love being kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always perseveres. It's all truth, all hope. And I know it's hard to stay in that sometimes. And we, at least for me, it's because, I say it's because of my flesh. You know, brought up that way. Thank you, dear. I've always heard that, even from others in the church. We blame it on the flesh. But then, it's funny when, in John, 1 John 3, verse 4, it says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He may take away our sins. And in Him there is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has seed of Him, seed in Him, or knows Him. Dear child, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. This is how we know we are children of God. Are in who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor anyone who does not love his brother. So I come to realize I don't have to keep sinning. The seed of God is in me. Therefore, this thing called love for my brothers and sisters is attainable. It's reachable. But it's my choice also. I can choose to step out in love, or I can choose not to. What Christ did was, Christ chose to step out and show love. I mean, and he did it in many ways. I mean, he healed people. People saw that, and they felt his love. I had a gentleman just a few weeks ago was at a birthday party, and he has these holes in his legs. I forgot the name of the disease that he has. And him and another guy there, they're biker friends and that. And it's just us three. And he says, yeah, he goes, I can really feel the love, you know, sarcastically, because of these holes in his leg. He says, in a sense, he says, I don't feel Jesus loving me. And, which I felt bad for him, because for me, it's just the opposite. And I told him, I says, I'm sorry that you don't feel that. He says, I've been through some things this summer, and that's all I felt was Christ's love. You know, he says, that's what's gotten me through it.
believe something was planted in him, or maybe even the other guy. I mean, even just those few words to somebody, I could have said nothing. And oftentimes, I probably do that. Love, it's also truth. And sometimes you have to be pretty brutally honest to people. That's how I connect better, when somebody's brutally honest with me. I don't comprehend or get it as well if you beat around the bush. I like it head on, and let me deal with it. And I think that we need to have more of that, even in our little body. I'm not saying that there's no love, because there is love in the body of Christ, but it's not deep-rooted like it needs to be. If somebody says something to somebody or does something a different way, some people get all upset, all blown out of proportion. That's an example of what love is not. And that happens way too often in marriages, with mothers and daughters and fathers and sons and brothers and sisters. And you expect it from the world, because they don't know any better. But for us who are born again, as John wrote, that's not the way we're supposed to be. And only you know if you're that way or not. Well, your spouse might know too. But it's not up to your spouse, in the sense to tell you. There is, yes, there is a connection spiritually where if your spouse or brother or sister in Christ has taken that plank out of their own eye, so they see clearly to remove that speck from your eye, then it's okay. But trust me, if you ain't got your tongue under control, and you try to tell somebody else, fire's gonna fly. And you're not acting like Christ anymore, you're not showing love like we're supposed to show, we're back to the devil. That's who we're acting like. We gotta really make up our hearts and our minds. Who are we gonna follow? And I know it's not easy. I know it's not. I'm pretty sure everybody in here probably struggles with it. There may be a few that's finally overcome it. And thank God if there is, because it is achievable. And we need to get that mindset. It is achievable. Doesn't God say nothing is impossible with me for those who believe? Or do we believe it? Do we have the faith that it takes? I mean, we've been talking about faith quite a bit this morning. And it's so funny, because for 3 weeks, I've been in that scripture where Jesus and the disciples were in the boat when the storm came up. We've been talking about a storm even this morning, about going in an event. And what did the disciples do? The disciples focused on the storm. And then what did they do? They go back to Jesus. And we can say that they woke him up. But in a sense, they actually went back and insulted him. Because they said to Jesus, "Don't you even care if we drowned?" How little they know Christ. How little do we know Christ? And his response was, "Do you yet not have any faith?" So they had no faith. And Jesus pointed it out to them. And then the next thing they say is, "Who is this man that the winds and the waves obey?" Now this goes back to what Reggie was saying, and back to, if you've got ears, listen. Because you would have thought that they would have registered and said, "Did he just say we have no faith?" But they didn't. They went right over their head. And how often does that happen to me and you? Something staring us right in the face. God will say something to us through somebody, something we may be reading, and it goes right over our head. Because we're not focused, we're not in tune, we're not listening, we're not paying attention. We're just going. We're just going. I mean, I don't know what I would have done in that circumstance. You know, it's so easy to do. I know that as many times as something I'm looking for at my house, it's right there in front of me. And what do I have to say? "Hey, hon, do you know where blah, 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 blah is?" And she's like, "Yeah, it's right there in front of you." So it happens. It happens. We just got to get better at it.
What?
It is a man thing, huh? Yeah. But on the spiritual end, it's all of us. You know, we all overlook sometimes what Christ is trying to say to us. And I would say for the last three messages or four messages, this is what God is trying to get us to do, is to open up our ears, really listen, really look at ourselves. We really need to look at ourselves. One of the scriptures that helped me look at myself is where there was the two debtors. They owed, one guy owed, was it 500 denarios? The other guy owed 50 denarios or something like that to a servant master, the master. And they didn't have the money to pay them back. So they went to him. And the master forgave both debts. And Jesus was talking with Simon in this conversation. And he actually asked Simon that question. And he says to Simon, "Simon, so which one is going to love more?" Simon says, "I would assume the one with the greater debt." And Jesus says, "Simon, you have answered correctly." So how that helps me is by not comparing myself to somebody else now, not looking at somebody else's faults. So what I do is I compare myself to Christ. Christ. And then all of a sudden the light comes on, because now you're comparing yourself to somebody who is perfect, and your debt just grew, but your love just grew too. That's the good news. Because you see it in a different light. A totally different light. Because sin is sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, every single one of us. And I mean, I've had conversations with people who say, well, this sin over here is worse than that one. This sin over here is worse than that one. And I tell them, sorry, that sin, and your sin keeps you out of heaven, my friend. Unless you repent. In God's eyes, sin is sin. And if we look at ourselves, and that's, to me, that's the key to this, is to look at ourselves, the debt that we own, compared to Christ. Stop looking at everybody else, judging everybody else. And as soon as we start to judge, what does God say about that? He who judges will be judged. The measure you use, it'll be measured to you. So bam, you've set yourself up from judgment on God Himself as the one that judges us. Not man, it's God. And then we start going through all these things, and we're like, God, what's going on here? And He's trying to tell us. We're not listening. Maybe we got our eyes on the storm again, instead of on Christ. It's so crucial, to always keep our eyes on Christ. When He says to meditate on my word day and night, that's exactly what He meant. And that's exactly what you got to do. When you lay down at night, that word ought to be in your mind and in your heart. When you wake up in the middle of the night, that ought to be there. And trust me, it can be. When you wake up first thing in the morning, that ought to be there. Your first desire in your heart ought to be to go someplace, pray, read the Word, fellowship with God. That's what your heart ought to desire in the morning. Unless you get up in the afternoon, okay? Or if you get up at night, that's okay then too. But when you awake, Reg,
yep.
I would like you to play that one song.
Which one? Number four?
Number four?
Number four.
Come live in water and be free from your remains.
my favorite songs. I just love that song. Especially where it tells me that he's waiting for me to move. You know? And if I move, he will move. It's just how it works. But I tell you, he who hears me, love your enemy, right?
Yes.
Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If I was to ask you guys and even myself, do I do this? Let me see a show of hands. How many hands would come up? And that I believe. Love is, it's a pretty tough thing to do. When you start thinking about it, what you've got to do to love somebody. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to take your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tukis, I guess. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's a different concept, isn't it? Somebody takes something from you, do not demand it back. How good are we at that? I don't know if I could pass that test. I remember years ago when I first started walking with the Lord, a guy that worked for me, he even said to me, he says, "Hey Dan," he says, "you're a Christian now and walking with God," he says, "because there's a scripture in there that says if somebody strikes you on the right cheek, turn them on and hit the other one." And one, I was amazed he even knew that. But it's funny what they do know. And I says to him, I says, "Well," I says, "Brian, I haven't quite gotten that far in the Word yet." I says, "If you want to try it, go ahead and we'll see what happens." And he opted not to. And it was probably a good thing. Because like I said, I warned him, I'm not there yet. If you love those who love you, what? That's Cree, right? C-R-E-D-I-T?
Credit.
Okay, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect return payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to those expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemy, do good to them, and
lend to them without expectation to get anything back. Then your reward is great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the unlawful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. There's some pretty good examples of love right there. And I think it's a fair question to ask ourselves, are we like that? And if we're not, why? You know? Why can't we let somebody borrow something? Can I just get shut up? They're supposed to be done. Everybody says amen. I don't know, it's man and his selfishness. And it's sometimes it's hard to break out of. And for me, it's a hard concept to understand, especially when Christ is in us. I mean, if Christ is not in us, then I understand it. But when you know people, they say they're Christians, but they don't act that way, those are the ones, and even myself, that's where I get confused. Because I know we don't have to. We don't have to lie. We don't have to steal. We don't have to be a glutton. I mean, it's just the other day, I ate way more than I should have. I mean, sin is sin, right? There was a particular time during this bout of pain that I was going through. Somebody had some painkillers, you know, prescription, and they let me have them. That's against the law. That's still a sin. In the eyes of God, I still sin. Intentionally. We can justify it. And I think Chris spoke something on this last Sunday about justifying in our own mind our actions. And we do that way too often. We got to stop being more real, more like Christ. Stop justifying our wickedness, our sins. Call them what they are. And as soon as we start calling them what they are, that's when God can break through. He can break those chains. He can break those walls down. He can break those barriers down. And He will. But if we keep hanging on to them, 9 out of 10, He's not going to break them down. He's broken down some serious stuff in me. Because I've admitted to it. I've confessed it. I see it. And I'm not boasting, trust me. Because without Christ, I would have never saw it. Without Christ, I wouldn't be here. I would be out in the world. It's only through His love, His grace, and His mercy that has put me here. It's the only reason, if I'd even still be alive. Now I will give you a demonstration of love, if I can. In the theater of your mind, if you can just imagine 2,000 years ago, there's this innocent man in a courtyard with thousands of people around him. He's on his knees, bound, chained, a crown of thorns. And then there's this other guy with a whip, cat of nine tails. And if you listen closely, you can hear the slashing of the whip. And every time it hits, it rips, tears the flesh of Christ off his body. The pain that he must have felt must have been intense. Never spoke a word against that man. Not one word. And you can hear the crowd screaming and hollering, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The only person fully innocent. And we have a hard time with somebody pulling out in front of us, or a spouse or someone you know says the wrong thing or doesn't do what you expect them or I expect them to do. Do we know Christ? Do we believe what that man went through for you and me? We need to know it. And as he's carrying that cross up on the hill, and he falls, and I believe it was Simon, and the blood splattered on him, and he went to wipe it off, and Christ says, "Simon, this blood is for you." I don't know about you, man, but that just melts my heart. That is what changed my heart. That is what has changed my life, is to get to know Christ and what he really did for me and what he stands for. He even tells us, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. We got this myth in the church that we don't have to, in a sense, obey the commandments of God. There's a little truth to that. Very little. The bigger truth is, if you love Christ, you will obey his commandments. It becomes a lifestyle for us. It's not an obligation. It's not really work. Yes, it is kind of a struggle because you still fight with the flesh a little bit, but you've got the spirit there. You recognize it. You see it. Usually very quickly, you repent from it, and he moves you on. He can move you off from alcohol. He's done it to me, praise God. He can move you off from drugs. I mean, he can move you off sexual morality. I mean, fornication, hatred. He can move you away from bitterness. He can move you out of resentment. He can take the hardest heart there is and melt it. And he does it. He's willing to do it. But we need to be willing to let him. And I know there's people in this room that have done that. But I also believe there's people in this room that haven't done that. And I encourage you to do that. To let it go. Grab a hold of God's love. I mean, realize that God loves you. Number one thing we got to do, that's what I had to do. That God loves me. I know God loves me. There's no doubt in my heart or mind anymore. That is completely gone, thank God. But then I had to ask myself, do I love God? And I didn't love God the way I should. And He's showing me this. And I'm hoping if there's anyone in here that you don't love God the way you should, whether if it's bitterness, resentment, anger, down to the simplest things of letting people borrow stuff or give it. We gotta let it go if we're gonna really be like God. Because that's what the world's looking for. They're looking for real. And it's up to the born again believers to be real. And it's not high time, it is past time. And I speak for myself, I need to do this. I really do. I mean, God has shown me some real good examples of love and what I should be doing to show love. And I need to step up and I need to do it. God will hopefully strengthen me. He'll bring me to the people I need to show the love to. But I need to be willing to do it. I need to get my feet moving. He says He lights that path. I just got to follow it. It's like even coming doing this message today, I wasn't even quite sure if I was supposed to do it. Until He started giving me signs about storms and stuff. Before we left the house, we had a major storm. And without going into great details, that was confirming to me that, yes, I'm on the right track. And then, during worship, someone stepped out in faith and gave me a word of encouragement. He says, Dan, he says, I believe God is laying this on my heart. And I want to let you know, I can't remember exactly everything he said, but not to fear, not to worry, because it's the flesh. And I'm so glad he did that. And that goes on to us, stepping out, saying things to people that God puts in our hearts to say. Want to play that one last song, Reg?
Desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? And if I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The rest of you do not hear it. Hear this, that you do not belong to God. The rest of you do not hear this, right, that you do not belong to God. So basically, if we belong to God, we're going to hear it. We're going to take these messages that God brings to us, and to hear it
We put it into practice. And if we don't, and maybe Jesus is telling us we don't belong to God. Maybe we might have to look really deep into ourselves to make sure that we really do belong to God, which ain't a bad thing to do. I've done it several times to make sure, because I know my life depends on it. When I die, that life depends on it, not this life. But I will leave you with one comforting scripture. This is also John. It's 13, verse 34. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's kind of complex, but yet it boils down kind of simple. If Christ is in you and Christ is in me, we will take the time to learn about love, and we will love. And I don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that, and neither do you. Just remember the words of the Lord. Amen.
Thank Dan for